reminding them of things that happened some time before. He's reminding them, in fact, of something that happened 40 years earlier when God actually gave him the commandments. And he's sort of reminding them of the willingness that they showed at that time, how they said, oh, we've heard it's God's voice and we'll do it. And now here, 40 years later, he's preaching the same message to them. It's the same word. But the difference is that last time they said they would do it, but they didn't. Now he's saying it to them again in the hope that they would. You've got to be persistent, haven't you? You've got to be consistent. You've got to be steady. You've got to not give up. You've got to be forgiving towards people. And you've got to keep preaching the word. You've got to keep sharing Christ with people. Sometimes they do it. Sometimes they don't do it. And you think about your life, how many times the Lord has been patient with you, guided you, spoken to you, encouraged you. Have you always done it? Have you always been quick to obey? And yet the Lord is patient, isn't he? The Lord is very, very good. But there's no mistaking what the purpose of recapping all of these things with the people is. And he lays it on very strongly. That there is a time, when, you know, time runs out, doesn't it? Time runs out. And there's an urgency now. There's been a terrible cost for the disobedience of the past. Now they must do what God says. Do what God says. If I looked at this passage, it's quite a big passage, and I've been looking at the Ten Commandments, looking at just one or two verses sometimes, spending a lot of time in just one or two verses. And to read a big passage like this, I must admit, it was a bit like swimming in a great big sea. What am I going to make of it all? And I sort of broke the passage up into 10 sections. And then afterwards, I thought that was still a bit unwieldy, so I broke those sections down into 4 further subsections. And I thought, well, that's a bit more manageable. 4, though, it's still a bit big. I wonder if I could reduce it down into like one sentence. And I kind of got one sentence out of it to summarize it. And then I took that sentence and I thought, how can I make that sentence into as short a sentence as I possibly can and try and say what is being said here? And it's this: do what God says. Do what God says. That seemed to be the sort of the sum of it, the sum of the whole thing. So we can go home now. Good night. Here we are today in the 21st century. We're not in Mount Sinai. We're not on the far side of the Jordan. Moses isn't standing there preaching to us. We haven't seen any thunder and lightning. We haven't seen dark cloud. We haven't heard a voice coming out of heaven. We're here in North Bradley Baptist Church, sitting on our red chairs and our blue carpet in a nice sunny evening. It's a very different situation, isn't it? But how are we going to hear God? If we're going to do what God says, how are we going to hear God? And I really want to encourage everybody tonight to be able to really be confident in this book, the Bible. It's not a very complicated message I have to preach tonight, but this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. And I think in the passage we've just read tonight, it inspires, certainly in me, and I hope in you too, a confidence in the written Word. God has inscribed his word. He's written his word down. Did you notice that point where he says he's written his word on the 2 tablets of stone? Got it written down. And the written word, sometimes I think we're looking for a big experience. We're looking for a sign. We're looking for thunder and lightning or something like that. But you know, the word that God spoke from that mountaintop with all the flashing lightning and thunder and noise is the same word that you can quietly sit down in your living room with a cup of coffee and put your feet up and pick your Bible up, and you're reading exactly the same word that comes from exactly the same source, but exactly the same authority and power. And if you act on it, the same things will happen to you that would happen to them if they'd put their confidence in it too. God has invested his word in the written form. We've got it here. Look, in chapter 5, verse 22, these words the Lord spoke. These words. I mean, that's referring backwards to the commandments that he's just been speaking. Look at those words. These are the words that God spoke. Now, you didn't hear it with your ears, did you? You weren't there on the mountain. It's exactly the same. You've got it. You're a long time after the event. You're far, far away. The weather might not be as good, but the power is the same. The power is the same. And there's the whole experience that he's recounting, the whole event that he's referring back to all these people who are witnesses to the actual event, he's asking them, do you remember? Do you remember what you saw? Do you remember what you heard? Do you remember that the very things that I'm saying to you today, that's what he's saying, 40 years after the event, is exactly the same thing as you heard all the way back there. The word of God hasn't changed. God's will hasn't changed. His plans and his purposes for his life is the same. So just do it. Do it. If you get a bit further down to chapter 5, verse 27, you know, he's recounting to how at the time that the whole congregation, seeing all the signs, hearing the noise, hearing the voice, sent him back to God to go and listen to what the Lord would say and come back to them with God's word. Right then, 40 years ago, they knew that Moses was a prophet. They knew that God had called him and had given him the word. And so they commissioned him. And here, 40 years later, nothing has changed. He's the same person with the same authority, ready to preach the same message to them. Only this time, please, will you do it? And the blessings that were spoken to them in the beginning, when they were there in the mountain 40 years before, he promised them that if they would go into the land that the Lord their God was giving them. That was a promise. He said that he would do it. Do you remember in the book of Numbers, how long did it take them to get to the promised land? How long did it take them to go, once they left Egypt, to get into the promised land? Can you remember how long it took? 40 years. Can you remember how many days' journey it was? 11 days. 11 days. He's been patiently, persistently preaching the same thing. An 11-day journey has become a 40-year saga just because of disobedience. And yet they knew he was a prophet. They knew the word was God's word. And yet, somehow, they struggled to believe it. As it says in chapter 6, verse 3, at the end of the passage, the same promises, the same blessings, the same opportunities are there at the end. There was there at the beginning that things might go well with you. Sound good? That things might go well with you? That you might live long? Sounds good? That you might multiply? The blessing of God on obedience was there at the beginning. It's still there. Do you think the blessing is still resting on his word? Has God changed? Do you still think we have the same call as on our life? Do what God says. Do what God says. Because the commandments here, we've talked about it. I don't want to go into it too much tonight. It's a revelation of God's will. People would love to know. Just think, people are just, wouldn't it be great to know what God is thinking? Wouldn't it be great to know what God wants and how we should live? If we could just kind of go behind the scenes and find out what the mystery of life is all about. It's been revealed. God has spoken. He's told us what he wants us to do. He's given us his commandments. Commandments is just his directions for life. We talked about that before. So there at the end, you can see. I wonder, I'd love to have been there to listen to Moses preaching it. As he says in chapter 6, verse 3. You know when you read in the Bible, do you ever sometimes wish you could hear the tone of voice? I wonder what that, you know, the intonation that he actually uses there. Gets to chapter 6 and verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them. Do you think he just said that with tears in his eyes? Please. Please. Don't do that again. Please, don't do it again. Do it. Be careful to do that. Or maybe he thundered. I have no idea. But I do know that the word that we have here, I don't need to know. God has inscribed this thing. He's written it down. This is the written word of God. And I know the message then has been conveyed to me. The important thing is that you, whatever his tone of voice, is that we do it. That's the point. And if we'll do it, we will enjoy the blessings of God. Yeah, some people seem to be hanging out for something else, as if there might be something else. You know, I've got my Bible. It's great. I love my Bible and all the rest of it. But I want a special word. I want an extra word. I want God to speak to me. I want something. But, you know, he says very clearly at the beginning of this passage here, as we're looking in chapter 5, verse 22, if we're going back there, it says, these words the Lord spoke to all your assembly in the mountain, out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, the thick darkness with the loud voices. And what did it say? He added no more. There it is. Don't look for something else. There it is. There it is. Well, the only thing missing is you've just got to do it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Be encouraged. Keep doing it. Keep obeying the word. All the fire and the cloud and the darkness that was there at the beginning, it's a sign, isn't it? It's a sign that this is God's word. They saw it, they approved, and they said 40 years later, yes, it's God's word. It's still God's word, though the fire has faded, the cloud has departed, and the darkness has lifted. But the word is the same. And I'm so glad that we see in chapter 5, verse 22, the first real record of scripture. Imagine if the only time you could ever hear God speaking to you, youngsters on the back, imagine the only time you ever heard God speaking to you is if he spoke out of heaven, right? You'd be kind of like called, you'd have to go on this long journey into the middle of the wilderness sometime. You imagine on a long, long journey and have to climb up a mountain and there'd be thunder and smoke and lightning. That's the only time you're ever going to hear God. Is it like that, when you hear his voice? How often do you think you'd hear God speaking to you if that was the case? All you have to do is pick up the book. This is the word. It's the same message. And he wrote it down. He wrote it down. And so that's how it was that 40 years after its event. Can you all remember what happened? What year are we in? 2016. 40 years ago, 1976. You remember where you were in 1976? Anybody not born? So you can remember where you were in 1976. You weren't born. There's a few here who weren't born. 1976. But, huh? Is that right? Really? Right, there you go, there you go. Not something you're going to forget. Not something you're going to forget. And God made sure that the word was written down, lest we forget. It's been written down, lest we forget. Hundreds and hundreds of years, it's the same word. These are the words. And Moses was able to preach confidently because he was preaching the written word of God. And you, if you pick up the Bible and you preach, what are you doing? You're preaching the written word of God. You're doing exactly the same thing with exactly the same authority. And if people put their confidence in what you're saying, exactly the same blessings will be theirs. Because it's God's word, and God's word hasn't changed. I love the way in chapter 5, verse 31, you look at it, the way God speaks to Moses. I think they're a bit cheeky, aren't they? We're going to back off. You go and talk to the Lord. You know, there's a bit of thunder and fire and you might get killed. So we'll just stand back over here. You go and do it. But for the person who's willing, for the person who's called and ready and willing, we see there in verse 31, I love the way he says, stand here by me. Stand here by me. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You know, when you're sharing God's word, to be standing, God is with you. He stands by you. You can stand by the Lord. The authority of what you're saying is not in you. You don't have to be something special. You don't have to be someone special. what you're saying is really special. It's precious, really precious stuff. God's blessing, that you might live long. I mean, chapter 5, verse 33, that you might live long. So, you know, do you think I'm pushing it too far to say that hinting in that living long in the land, that there's a reference to eternal life there? Am I pushing it a little bit far, maybe? There's something of it, that it might be well with you, that you might live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. I know it's for the Christians today, we have a city whose builder and maker is not God. We've got a place that we're going to that is the Lord's own habitation. Not just the types and the shadows, but the very real thing. Moses went up on the mountain and he saw the real temple on which it was just patterned. There is a real place to which we're going. Well, I don't know really. I can't tell you exactly what heaven's like. I get intimations of it when I read here in the Bible. I get a sense of it here in the Bible. And when it says things no eye has seen or ear heard or heart entered into the heart, the good things that God has for those that love them. It doesn't tell me, I haven't got a roadmap, but it tells me that we have good reason to be confident and make our progress towards that place. If we'll just believe in God's word. So if it's God's word and it's God's message to us, and there are so many special promises, what could be left to us to do but to do it? Chapter 6, verse 3, be careful to do them. Just do it. Just do it. Moses is looking back at the message, as I've said. He's reminded how the Lord spoke. And I hope I've shown that the text, the written text, carries exactly the same weight as the word that they heard all those years before. People don't have to say to you, well, if you'd been there at the time, you know, then I'd believe you. This, you have the Bible. Have confidence in the written word of God. You've seen something remarkable. You've seen something remarkable. What have we seen? Chapter 5, verse 22. Sorry, 5, verse 24. What have we seen? We've seen something. They said that at Sinai, they saw that God had shown his glory and his greatness. God had shown his glory and his greatness. And he is saying that 40 years later, far away from that mountain, that the promise that they were being offered was equally a revelation of God's glory and greatness. And when a person stands and preaches the word of God faithfully, we should be able to see in that God's glory and God's greatness. That he has come down in mercy and love to people like you and me to show you his will and give you his promises and empower you to live for him. The God of glory, the God of grace. And there's no difference. The fire may be you may not see this fire, but have you ever experienced, do you know what I mean by the fire of God? Do you know what I mean by that in your own lives? Does that mean anything to any of you? The fire, the power, the passion of the Lord, the reality, the glory of God. It's the same. We may not see it with our eyes or hear it with our ears, but it's the same. It's the same power. And look, how did they respond? They saw something. And when we've really heard the word, there's a natural response that comes to the word. And we see it there in chapter 5, verse 25. I'm just skimming through this passage tonight. Chapter 25, they're afraid, aren't they? Why should we die, they say. Why should we die? They've seen something of the glory of God. It's a perfect, complete revelation. They know the truth. God has revealed the truth to them. He's called them simply to obey and to trust him. And that, by nature, they are afraid. They're afraid. They've got a sense of God's greatness. That they don't want to tempt God. They don't want to offend God. The only thing that they really know they have to do is just obey God. Just obey. We should be careful, therefore, to obey all these things. The power, the truth, the grace is the same today. You've got the message, haven't you? You've got the message. I think I've made it clear. Hear therefore, it's not just for the hearing of the ears, is it? Hear therefore, let open your hearts, let the word in, let the King of Glory enter in. Consider his word, consider his message, the things that he'd have you to do. Do you know what the Lord would have you do? Do you know his commands? Do you know some of the things he wants you to do, right? Don't you? To love one another, for example. You can think of many things. Think about those things. Think about those things and do them. Just do them. That's what we've been called on to do, just to be obedient to the word. So Moses' life has suddenly changed. 40 years before, he didn't have the Ten Commandments to give. He hadn't received it. He was a prophet who'd been given a unique revelation. He would never have a unique revelation again. He had this one blinding moment up there on the mountain with God when all these glorious things were revealed to him. He heard God speaking to him and he wrote these things down. From that time onwards, all he did was preach the word, preach it and apply it and teach it, because there's something about the word. Do you still find things in your Bible that you think, I've never seen that before? Do you still find things that you've seen many times before and you still haven't done? Do you still find things in your Bible that you used to do and you'd forgotten and you don't remember? Do you want to do it again? Do you remember sometimes it reminds you of a zeal or a passion that you once had? You want to recover. Or a zeal and a passion other people have that you like. There's something inexhaustible about the word of God. It's sufficient for the whole of life, isn't it? It's enough to feed on for your whole life long. Just hear therefore. And for the rest of his life, Moses would just be teaching and applying the glorious truths that he'd been given. He'd never have to go and receive a brand new revelation. He'd been given everything that was necessary. No preacher who comes to you with a brand new revelation, a new word from heaven, a new word from God. Do you know what I recommend if you hear that? Run for your lives. Run and get your Bible. Run to the word of God. It's enough. It's enough just to teach it, to understand it, to practice it. I've got more in here to be contending with without something new. It's enough. But it's described here in chapter 5, verse 31, as the whole commandment. The Ten Commandments have been called the whole commandment. It's enough to occupy your whole life long. I've finished, haven't I? I've finished. It's enough. It was true then. It's true now. It was true there. It's true here. God hasn't changed. And if we need to change, then let it be us. Let's move from disobedience to obedience. If we need to, let's move from disobedience to obedience and enjoy the blessing of Almighty God on our lives and be encouraged. If you're walking in obedience, the word of God is with you. You are standing by him. And that is a wonderful, wonderful. Let's sing something to close, shall we? And you wouldn't need